First thing I want to do is apologize for last week or last month when we had the technical difficulties then. Elena ended up having to get a brand new computer, so we're working with that today, and she doesn't have her astrology software on that yet, so we're going to have to work around that. So both Elena and I will at various different times share the screen as we go through with this presentation. So, as usual, Elena's got a lot of material to make it through, so if you'll hold your questions until the end, then she'll be more than happy to answer a few of them for you. I do want to tell you that she's got some very technical astrology that she's going to talk about, and while she's talking about it, as she's reading the pertinent text and adding in the astrology that points to that, I will be showing CDP's chart, okay? But you don't need to take notes because Elena is actually going to post her notes that she's reading from with the recording there on Mercara. So we should be good. You'll be able to look at that. You'll also be able to look at the chart, okay? So let me turn this over then to Elena so she can start with her with the meditation.
Meditation.
Okay, for it, you should have. There you go now. There, we've got that. Thank you.
Can you hear me, everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Welcome everybody to this webinar. We were a little bit, not sure if it's going to work out today, but fortunately it does. So we will start with a short alignment of the group field as usually we do. So make yourself comfortable and make quiet your lower fields. Focus the attention in the head. And imagine the light of the soul pouring through the mental body, integrating the personality. We will sound the ohms as we imagine the white golden light first illuminating the mental body. Purifying the astral body, strengthening the etheric body. And we visualize the threefold personality as being unified with the white light. Now, personality soul fusion. See the lower triangle representing the personality, with the mental body at the apex of the triangle, and the physical and astral bodies at the base. See the apex of the triangle pointing upwards. Above the lower triangle, see the brightly lit higher triangle representing the soul, with its apex pointing downwards. See these two triangles facing each other. And by an act of the will, see them merging together and forming a six-pointed star. Representing a shining sun as a soul infused personality. And sound a silent om to confirm this fusion. Group alignment. Visualize a sphere of pure white light and the group members as miniature shining suns inside and around the sphere. See a sphere of light linking the heart centers of all the group members. A sphere of light linking the head centers. And a sphere of light linking the Ajna centers of all the group members. Imagine the light rapidly circulating through these three spheres. And aligning the three group centers, Ajna, heart, and head, into one mind, one soul, and one will. To confirm the group alignment, we sound the om as a group. Thank you. Now, DL, please put the chart on the screen.
Okay. And I just want to say again, for those people who just recently joined us after I had said it, Elena has got a lot of technical information she's going to go through, but she will be posting a copy of her notes with the text from Dinah, as well as the comments, the astrological comments that she's making. So, okay, please go ahead, Elena.
I'll make could a you make it?
Yes.
Yes, and thank you. Okay, so today we are going to discuss the CVP's garden, which she started to build upon the inner planes, and you know, to refresh our memories, I will go through the text which I have recommended for you to read prior to the webinar, which deals with this building of the garden, and it's found in Dina 1, page 506. And it is this text with some of my comments to it, which you will receive, you know, which will go on the Makara, and there you find also the chart, and you go together with it in your own time. Because I thought this would be a good exercise, that how to read a master's words, which are leading us through the symbological, psychological language, you know, to a particular energies. So those of you who have a handy the Dina book, you can follow the text now. If not, you know, it's no problem. So the text starts where the DK says, each morning for 5 or 10 minutes work with the art of visualization, a creative art. Now the key word here is the art, creative art of visualization. And some of the energies which we're getting from this, it's the fourth ray, Venus and Ajna. Visualize to yourself a garden in this order. Visualization, it's connecting in her chart the two signs of vision, which are Taurus, which BL is pointing in the chart with her cursor that you see, and Sagittarius. And we see that there are two planets in aspects, in a quincunx, 150 degree aspects, between that Jupiter in Sagittarius to Neptune in Taurus. The symbol of the garden is the Taurus energy here. The disorder of the garden is leading us to Neptune, which is placed in Taurus. That you are restoring to order, he says, the ray of order is the seventh ray. Restoration energy is Aries. The forces of restoration we find in Aries energy, through which the seventh ray is transmitted. And we see that she was born in Aries. Okay? The sun is in Aries. So she is told to restore the garden to order and beauty. A planet Venus is the planet of beauty. Okay? Rearrange that garden and fill it with flowers. The flowers also is a symbol of Venus. With a song of birds, song is usually a combination of energies, Venus and Neptune. Of birds, the symbol of bird is a soul. Okay, soul is the bird. And with what you have vision to yourself as the garden of your dreams. Now Neptune is the planet which is related to dreams. And as you see, Neptune is in 11th house, which is a house of ideals, dreams and wishes. Okay, so you see how DK is using this symbological language leading us exactly to her astrology here. Okay, and he says, see, two things happen. There must be restoration. which is the seventh ray through Aries particularly, restoration of the garden. And its growth, which is the Jupiter, the expanding energy, and the sixth ray in relation to the vegetable kingdom, which is conditioned by the sixth ray plus the ray four and two, indicates the growth of the plants and flowers towards the light in the vegetable kingdom. Okay? The sixth ray, I mean. Okay? Jupiter is also not only representing the growth of the flowers and expanding energy of the Jupiter, but Jupiter is also one of the planets conditioning the vegetable kingdom. And we know that 2, 4, 6 ray line is very powerful in her ray makeup. Let your imagination, you know, it's a number, could be few astrological energies, but the primary one is the Mercury-Neptune a combination, a sensitivity, you know, in a process of imagination, particularly in this case, creative imagination. Let your imagination guide you day by day. A guide, it's the Chiron, particularly here in relation to Sagittarian energy, the sign of vision. Guiding the imagination. We see the Chiron is in Taurus also. Okay? And it is in conjunction both to the Sun and to the Neptune. So, a guide you day by day into a steady work of restoration. You see, he's repeating the word of restoration in this text, which again, you know, is bringing us to that Aries energy and the ruler Mars of Aries, it's in Taurus, which is the symbol of the garden. Remembering, he says, remembering the goal of this exercise is to focus your attention in the region of the Ajna center of the pituitary body. Now, the goal, you know, becoming back to the Sagittarian energy, you know, which is, you know, the arrow when we are looking forward. What is our goal? Attention in the region of the Ajna center, it's the, we have discussed in maybe a couple of previous webinars in detail of her Ajna center, which is conditioned by the sixth ray and Neptune. Okay? There, he says, learn the power to organize. Now, the ray of organization is the seventh ray. When your problems descend upon you, when you are swept by an ancient habit is the moon, and moon in Scorpio particularly for this disciple, okay? Ancient habit of thought, its thought is Saturn in Pisces, representing the accumulation of karma of past lives. And then he follows saying that you know to be wrong, but which has as yet a rhythmic power, seventh ray, and Uranus, the transmitter of seventh ray, is squaring that moon in Scorpio of the habit, ancient habit. Okay? It has a rhythmic power over you. then to retire into a seclusion or retreat is a 12th house and Piscean energy. Then retire into your garden and work there for a short while. Okay? In time, make your retreat, again, the retreat, 12th house, and we note that the 12th house is ruled by Taurus. Okay? Into the secret garden. Here we have the Scorpio energy emerging, okay? With the Mars in Taurus in the 12th house. Make your retreat in the secret garden an instantaneous reaction. You know that she immediately go to that garden. And that is again Aries with the Mars as a ruler. When distressed, okay, that when she is in distress, immediately she should retire into her garden and stay not there for a long time, he said. It will aid you to break. A breaking energy is coming from Pluto, particularly as a ruler of Scorpio and the powerful Piscean Scorpio energies in her chart. To break the power of the ancient thought forms. You see that Saturn in Pisces in its relation to the moon in Piscean decanate of Scorpio. Okay? So this is the whole text in this second instruction, which is dedicated to the initiating of the building of the garden which she was building through her life. Okay? So we will be returning to the garden from a, when he's speaking about it from a different perspective. But this is the first text. Okay? Now, so the focal point of our discussion will be this garden. Okay? Which involves the use of her visualization and creative imagination, okay, with a focus and attention in the ajna, which, you know, through this process was coming into a more activity and development. And she had to first visualize the garden as being in this order and then learn how to organize it and restore the order. Okay? Now, the restoration represents new and living force. Okay? Working under the direction of the soul, utilizing the ajna, and bringing into the garden a new life, you know? A new life is coming, restoring, as a restoring energy here. So this initiating process is conditioned by the sign of Aries, which is related to the work of the forces of restoration, okay? And, you know, it is not surprising that, you know, her son is in Aries. She was born in Aries. Now, Mercury in Aries indicates that the garden has been built upon the higher mental planes. You know, it's a powerful esoteric placement, Mercury in Aries. And this is confirmed by Uranus and Jupiter ruling the Aquarian ninth house, representing the higher mind. Okay? Now, both of these planets, Uranus and Jupiter, the exoteric and esoteric rulers of Aquarius, are both conditioned by the seventh ray energy. We know that 7th ray is a soul ray of Uranus, and here I am hypothesizing that Jupiter is also conditioned by the 7th ray, being its probably its personality and the monadic subray. So there is another source of providing of the energy of the 7th ray. Because the 7th ray is also transmitted through her Cancer rising sign, which is indicating the soul's purpose. Thus, building of her garden was an important part of her purpose. Neptune, as the esoteric ruler of Cancer, and also the ruler of her Ajna, is placed in Taurus as one of the conditioning energies of the garden. Her soul ray is the 2nd ray, and interestingly related to Jupiter as the sacred planet conditioned by the 2nd ray on its soul level, but strongly conditioned also by the 7th ray on its other levels. So we have two 7th ray combination of very healing, correcting energies coming together. The 7th ray is also transmitted through Aries, as we've seen, okay, where is her sun? But usually, you see, we are told that where we find our sun is an indicator of our personality ray. But, you know, that has to be very deeply looked at, because, you know, she had a 6th ray personality, but Mars, as the ruler of the whole personality, is the ruler of Aries and is placed in Taurus, which Taurus transmit the 4th ray, which is one of the rays of the vegetable kingdom, as is the 6th ray, which is transmitted through the Mars. So you see here we have 7th ray, 4th ray coming together. Another M6 ray. Okay? So a number of rays are coming together, but they are the combination of the rays we find very much in healing process, okay? In a creative process also. So even though we see that 7th ray was not part of her ray makeup, its presence is strongly evident in her astrology here. And this is telling us that even though we find strong emphasis on a particular ray in the astrological chart, it doesn't mean necessarily that it has to be one of our 5 conditioning rays. Okay? And that's why to establish our race, it's so very difficult. The 7th ray energy is behind the necessity to manifest, you know, in orderly, rhythmic manner, and behind the production of beauty and perfection. It is the energy needed, ready to bring order out of chaos and rhythm to replace disorder. We know the 7th ray is, energy of organization also. And she had, and of the rhythm, she had to work on the garden regularly, rhythmically, every morning, creating that order and beauty, and learning the power to organize the substance upon the mental plane where she was building the garden. Okay? Now, Uranus is in the Sagittarian decanate of Leo, And it's making trine to the sun in Sagittarian decanate of Aries. And the sun is also semi-square to Venus. Okay? So we need to carefully follow this linking of energies, which we have already seen being present in that text of the master in relation to the garden. Now, Venus conjunct Mars, the ruler of Aries, placed in Taurus, and Taurus is ruled by Venus. And this conjunction is placed in the 12th house of subjectivity, indicating the inner levels where she was building her garden and where she had to retreat, the 12th house of retreat. Okay? And we see the powerful Sagittarian energies here. Okay? Now, Jupiter is, we see that Jupiter is in Sagittarius and it's reflecting the ninth house, which is archetypally ruled by Sagittarius, and the ninth house is the mental energy, okay? And Jupiter is in opposition to Venus. And both of these planets, Jupiter and Venus, are ruling the vegetable kingdom, with Venus being the predominant energy in there. As the ruler of Libra, another sign, another energetic sign of Libra ruling the vegetable kingdom. Libra, particularly, we are told, with its relation to sex or the consciousness of affinity, which revealed the mystery of the vegetable kingdom. Now, I cannot go into this any further. Just, you know, we see a powerful link here to the vegetable kingdom because, you know, she was using these energies in building of that garden. Okay? Now, Uranus is the esoteric ruler of Libra and is thus of great importance because the seventh ray working through it is the embodiment of the principle of concretion during the creative process, which is conditioned by the third aspect or third ray, which is also, third ray is the conditioning ray of one of the rays of Uranus. Okay? Now, we have two rays now in evidence for this disciple. Primarily, it is the second ray, okay, as a creative aspect. But now it is also emerging the third ray. Both are very important aspects of the creative process. Okay? Now Uranus, we've seen that it's in that Sagittarian decanate of Leo and providing the seventh ray directing power behind the sixth ray Ajna. And direction is the keyword of Sagittarius. So you see how these energies are confirming each other and linking, you know, from different levels. Now, Biel, could you put the quadra wheel, please? I don't know if you can clearly going to see here. It cannot be put any bigger, BL.
No, sorry.
Okay, so just try to go with the cursor that people will have some idea what we are going to look now. What was happening by progression when she started to build the garden? Okay? And there is very important and significant progression between the progressed full moon from Gemini Sagittarius across the 6-12 houses. Okay? There was a progressed full moon. And we see the Gemini Sagittarius polarity. Not surprising, isn't it? And the 6 and 12 houses are involved. The houses of healing, a correction, adjustment, all these processes which we have already looked at. And this progressed full moon at 16 degrees of Gemini Sagittarius is in aspect to the progressed Uranus ascendant conjunction in Sagittarian decanate of Leo in September 1933, which was the year of this instruction. Okay? This indicates this combination of energies, very powerful, very important progression here. Especially with the progressed ascendant being involved, which is related to the soul's purpose, conjuncting that Uranus, indicate a new direction, establishment of a new rhythm, with the opportunity to release the creative expression of the soul here. Okay? Uranus is the esoteric ruler of the fifth house of the causal body, ruled by Libra. Okay? Where the creative imagination stimulates the soul's love through the utilization of the occult mind represented by Uranus in the third house is that progression. Okay? And that third house is a mental house, mental energy, and is ruled by the sun. Okay? Which, you know, it's veiling on pulling the Leo on all three levels. Okay? And which, you know, we looked already that it's, you know, she was born with the sun in Aries. Okay? Now, in October 1933, the solar arc ascendant...
Hold it. Let me move forward. Okay.
The solar arc ascendant in Aries decanate of Leo, at 29 degree Leo, you see there, is square the natal mass in Taurus, which is the dispositor of all the planets in Aries. So we see the solar arc ascendant now, both ascendant from two different progressions are involved. And Aries is the initiating energy, okay? Indicating and confirming the initiating process of the building of the garden. And the transiting Uranus, which is going through Aries, right? And it's, you know, the highest ruler of Aries, so it makes a link to that Aries now from the highest level even. It is conjuncting the Chiron in Aries. Okay? Now, through, for myself, it confirms my very close rectification of the heart with the involvement of both ascendants. You know, we need to have a pretty correct time of birth in order to happen. Now, Chiron is a contributory energy of adjustment behind the restoration of the garden, and is placed also in Aries conjuncting the sun. And the solar arc Chiron in August 1933, VL, August, is sextile the natal sun in Aries. Okay? And in January 1934, because we're dealing, you know, from June 1933 to June 1934 as a whole year here. In January 1934, the transiting Uranus is going also, we wouldn't see it here, but you can point, you know, there is a midpoint at Sun Chiron at 23 Aries 21. Okay? I brought this very important midpoint here because of the relationship of that Chiron to the Sun. It's evidence in, on a deeper level through that midpoint also. So CDP is using her imagination in the restoration of the garden. And as we know, imagination is found upon the second astral subplane. And, you know, Ajnas is involved not only through visualization, but through the imagination process. And it is linking through the sixth ray to the astral plane. And visualization is bringing into activity not only the Ajna, but also the creative imagination, which is one of the great building attributes of deity, we are told. Okay? So this visualizing process and use of imagination form the first two steps in the activity of thought form building, which in this case, the thought form is the garden. And visualization is always a directing energy employed to bring about a specific desired effect. Okay? Now we have already discussed in previous webinars the sixth ray Neptune conditioning her Ajna, and Jupiter ruling her heart center. And we have noted already the aspect between the Jupiter and the Neptune. Okay? Maybe now you can switch for a moment to the natal chart. Thank you. Now we're looking at this Jupiter Neptune from a perspective of the creative imagination and visualization, okay? Because these two planets now are linking the two signs of vision, Taurus, where is Neptune, and Sagittarius, where is Jupiter. And Ajna, as a focal point of the visualization, is conditioned by the sixth ray Neptune placed in Taurus, okay? Now, when I see such a powerful aspect as this Jupiter Neptune repeating itself from a different perspective, I always look for the midpoint of these planets. And so the midpoint of Jupiter Neptune, would you believe it, is found at 16 degree Leo 42 minutes, falling on the natal and progressed Uranus in Sagittarian decanate of Leo. Okay? Now this brings together the qualities and energies of the second ray, Jupiter, sixth ray Neptune, seventh ray Uranus. Okay? Again, a further confirmation, the same energies being utilized. Now we need to go back to the quadrivial. Thank you. Now, through the year 1933, which we are considering here, this midpoint Jupiter-Neptune was activated by the progressed conjunction of ascendant Uranus in 16 degree Leo, and also by the progressed full moon in Gemini Sagittarius at 16 degrees across the 6-12 houses of adjustment and subjectivity, supported by the transiting Jupiter along the IC area in the fourth, around the 3-4 cusp there, activating the axis of the 4-10 houses or ICMC, indicating the guidance of the soul and the master behind the building of the foundation, the IC, fourth house of the garden. And also, through this process, she was forming a new relationship to the ashram, represented by the fourth house, leading to an increased service. Now, Virgo is the sign conditioning the fourth house, the IC there. It is also correcting energy. And so the Chiron is related to two planets as a correcting, adjusting energy. We see it in relation to Sagittarius as a guide, and in relation to Virgo as a more correcting energy here. Okay? And here we also find in the Virgo the transiting Neptune, her most important planet, because it's the esoteric ruler of her Cancer ascendant, which represents the soul purpose. It is moving through Virgo and approaching, you know, the ICMC axis, and is also making trine to the progressed MC in Taurus, interestingly enough, which is representing the Dharma or obligation. And it is activating also that Neptune, transiting Neptune, progressing moon by progression in the sixth house. Where is it? Or seventh house?
Both, right? Yes.
Okay. And the natal Mercury, which is at 8 degree of Aries, and Moon and Mercury are the rulers of Virgo. Moon esoterically and Mercury exoterically. And the Neptune is also activating the progressed Mars Saturn square from Cancer to Pisces, right?
That's a trine.
Sorry. I didn't put which aspect, I just thought progressed. Okay, good. Trine. Now, this is a further combination, telling us that the building of the garden was not only part of her soul purpose, but also of her Dharma. Okay? Both are activated here through progression and natally. And thus, you know, far-reaching conditioning effect on her future life development. Okay? Particularly that Mars Saturn energy, very the energy of discipleship, okay, which we will look at very closely when we deal with the next instruction in the next webinar, where she's taking the final test of entry on accepted discipleship. So the crises are already indicated by this square, okay? Now, we note that the transiting Saturn is at the 16 degree of Aquarius and is activating all these progress contacts, which I have just mentioned, the full moon, the progressed ascendant with the Uranus, and the midpoint of Jupiter-Neptune, which is, you know, the major energy of the building of the garden. The Saturn now indicates that you need to apply really an extra effort to start this new process here. And we see the simultaneously there is activity happening on different levels here, okay? Now, the progressed Venus is moving through the Piscean decanate of Cancer. Again, we have the same energies here. You see, even through the progression, bringing in a Neptune influence as the ruler of these two signs, Pisces and Cancer, and linking it to Jupiter, that Neptune, you see the combination, Jupiter-Neptune, Jupiter as the ruler of Pisces and its exaltation in Cancer. Okay? That you understand it correctly, that Jupiter is not in Cancer, but it has its exaltation in Cancer. And that brings, when this happens, as it's here, that particular planet is becoming a very powerful. It means that Jupiter, because of its exaltation in the ascending sign, okay, in relation to the soul purpose, from a number of different perspectives, but we are looking at that Jupiter-Neptune as a visualization and creative imagination energy. Now, the progressed Venus and the solar arc Jupiter making a T-square with the natal Chiron, which carries the midpoint of Sun Neptune, linking further linking of energies to the natal and progressed charts. And the transiting Uranus going through Aries over Chiron activate this T-square. So there is a lot to look at very carefully in here from the astrological point of view. So those of you who are really interested, you know, please go to the Makara and look at this in your own time. So we see that all these energies are linking to the garden, okay? The development of the powers of visualization and creative imagination, these are very closely aligned, by the way, these two powers, will arouse Ajna into activity, and when it is connected with the throat center, it indicates an active use of creative imagination. So we are looking now which centers are activated beside the ajna and through its activity. Okay? And in her case, we see Neptune in her native chart. You can point inside of it. It's sextile Saturn. Neptune, ajna, sextile Saturn, throat center. Okay? And ajna, in its imaginative aspect, is related to the solar plexus. And Neptune is a major conditioning energies of the ajna, solar plexus, and the astral plane, where we find imagination on the second subplane. Okay? And on that second subplane, where we find the imagination, is also found a heart center. Heart center is found on every second subplane of a plane. And thus, ajna fuses creative imagination also of the throat and the love of the heart center. Okay? We can see this relation in the triangle in her natal chart between Neptune, Saturn, and Jupiter. They are all in aspect to each other. Okay? And so Neptune, ajna, Saturn, throat, Jupiter, heart. We note that in this process of the building, there was also involved the shifting process of the lower point represented by Mars into the higher point represented by Neptune of the solar plexus center. Okay? Involving Mars and Neptune placed in Taurus. Through the utilization of the T-square between Venus, ruler of Taurus, Saturn, ruler of Capricorn, decanate of Taurus, where is we find the Mars placed at 29 degrees of Taurus, and Jupiter, ruler of Pisces, where Saturn is placed in the Sagittarian or ninth house, where we find the Saturn, and in relation to the 12th house of the Venus-Mars conjunction. So, you see, we find, I am sharing with you a lot of astrology here because of its importance, how unbelievably it is working from the levels of all the progressions, transits, in relation to the natal chart. Okay? And the energies are repeating itself. So this was related to shifting of her lower psychic and astral life, where, you know, she spent quite a bit of time, as DK was telling her, into a higher psychic sensitivity of spiritual life brought about soul. It involved, in her case, the right observation of reality upon the soul plane, leading to the right mental perception and to freedom from glamour through utilization of her second ray soul focused in the fifth ray mind. That's where she was making this focus through this process also more stable. Okay? Now, on the axis of the Sun, semi-square Venus and Saturn, Sun is semi-square Venus and Saturn, we find on this semi-square, the midpoint of Mercury, Neptune. Now, I was consciously looking for this combination, which I mentioned, you know, in the text, when I was telling you some of the astrological energies of the text of the garden, as DK described it, because this combination of energies enhances the imagination, creativity, the sensitivity to impression, linking the astral, mental, and buddhic planes, which made possible for her to build the garden of such a beauty. Okay? The Mercury-Neptune combination in its highest level is one of the most spiritual combination of energies, indicating this strong sensitivity to impression, intuitive perception, and creative imagination. This also indicates the activation of the heart in the head. It is also linking the astral, Neptune, and buddhic, Mercury, planes, even though both of these planets are the conditioning energies of the buddhic plane themselves, okay? And here we have the fourth ray through Mercury, sixth ray through Neptune, okay? Linking again to the vegetable kingdom, which is ruled by the 2, 4, 6 rays particularly. We note that the solar arc Neptune is approaching to the conjunction with the retrograde progressed Mercury in the 12th house. You see there? Not that one. The progressed Mercury there at 28 or 29, yes, to the Neptune by solar arc on top of it, in Gemini, there. You see the alignment? This is the most important alignment, you see, from the perspective of the progress, two different progressions, and it's becoming exact in December 1934, and I don't want you to go to that date. I'm only mentioning it, okay, because this is a process of her life. And the progressed, full moon is activating by semi-square and sesquiquadrate, the natal Neptune, okay, and involving not only the sun, moon, full moon, but also the midpoint sun, moon, which the natal Neptune carries, and involving the process of the soul personality fusion and integration. So different levels of energies is happening, okay? What is important here to note with that progress Mercury at 28, 29 degrees, that you see it had to turn retrograde in her life into that 12th house. If she was moving directly, she would, you know, she just would not fulfill the purpose of this life for this disciple. She had to move in that 12th house in a retrograde motion towards that solar arc Neptune. Because this is the most important energy she needed in the building of the garden on the inner planes, subjective level of the 12th house. So we see the inner levels working in two directions, being in the 12th house and the retrograde motion of that Mercury, which is standing on the inner level from the higher spiritual perspective. Okay? And this is the confirmation of it, that it works. Okay? No, I don't know if you have to keep turning to these different months, because, you know, people would have to see this more clearly than they see it maybe on this chart. But you see, again, in October.
October 33 or October
34? 33. The solar arc Mercury. Now the solar arc Mercury, which is in Gemini. In Gemini, no, yes, oh, so. But so, solar arc there, that Mercury. You see, that's why I'm bringing this Mercury-Neptune contact from a different direction, that the solar arc Mercury at the 4 degrees there, yeah, it was making semi-sextile the progressed Neptune at 4 degrees in Taurus, right? And moving towards the activation of the Venus-Saturn natal square at the 4 degrees. You see there? All in 4 degrees. But the same energies are involved. And when we look at the transiting Chiron, we see the alignment between that solar arc Mercury and the natal Venus Saturn square and the progress Neptune at 4 degrees Taurus. This is indicating a major process of reconstruction and transmutation going on here through all what I am describing astrologically, okay? I just want to mention that the importance of the Neptune, whenever we see a planet as an esoteric ruler of the ascendant, which in this case is the Neptune ruling that Cancer ascendant, we need to focus very carefully on that planet, because it indicating very important developments. Okay? And it is also ruling the Cancer decanate of her Pisces midheaven, in the, you know, related to the Dharma. Okay? And the transiting Neptune in Virgo is making a trine aspect to the progressed midheaven. Okay? It is a process how the transiting Neptune is moving, okay? And that transiting Neptune is also aspecting the natal Mercury, progress Saturn, and Mars, solar arc Moon, relating all these energies. You see, another thing which I want to point out to you, that when there is an aspect between both rulers of the ascendant, which in this case is Neptune and Moon, that is also significant. Okay? So we also know she had a strong astral-buddhic connection, okay? And this linking to intuition and pure reason as a harmonizing energy contributing to the needed order and beauty, fourth ray conditions vegetable kingdom, okay? And also the second and sixth. Through the process of visualization, she was setting up connection here between the Buddhic intuition and creative imagination of the astral body. This is another aspect we are looking at to her astral-Buddhic connection. And that is telling us, you know, DK doesn't go into this deeper detail, energetic analysis, but we need to just take the keywords and follow them, okay? We are told that second-rate disciple, through rightly applied of the technique of fusion, will produce a third-rate results, of which the use of creative imagination is the outstanding characteristic. This you find the reference in Esoteric Psychology 2, page 387. Now, we know that the second aspect, the second ray, is also the form building aspect. And so it is the second aspect of the personality, which is the astral body, and the second aspect of the spiritual triad, which is the Buddha, which is becoming creatively active here. Okay? So, a current of force is set up between these pairs of opposite, astral and Buddhic. And as it is passing through the force upon the mental plane, it produces an organization of the substance present there, needed for the creation of the garden on the higher mental plane. Okay? And so, the Venus in Gemini, which is also related to the pairs of opposite on the astral plane more, but in the subjective level of the 12th house, it's now strongly emphasized through this process also by the progress full moon through that Gemini Sagittarius across the 6-12 polarity. Okay? So this work is dependent upon the use of creative imagination or the picture-making faculty, which is subject to mental control. Okay? So it is a combination of an astral and mental activity also. We have a relationship here established between imagination, intuition, and both of them to the mind. Okay? Because she was using all these levels of energies. Okay? So now we're beginning to understand why her second ray soul chose the sixth ray to condition her ajna, and more clarity is emerging also behind the DK statement that her sixth ray brain, you know, is under the influence of the sixth ray astral body, and but that it also makes her intuitive or astral buddhic. Okay? But it was only after her mental and astral bodies became integrated. If those of you who follow these webinars, this second instruction open up, where DK is telling that now your mental and astral bodies are integrated. And her fifth ray mind became increasingly in control of the astral body and became the transmitter of the illumination from her second ray soul, that she was able, ready to start the building of her garden. Not before. Okay? This is also telling us that she was beginning to use the second ray fusion together with the technique of integration simultaneously in that life, which brings, that second ray fusion brings illumination of the mind and increased creative imagination to the astral body, brought about by the evocation of the soul nature, so that all, the all-inclusive love will be increasingly present in service as the primary focus of the secondary technical fusion, and also bringing the heart center into fuller activity. Okay? So there is a definite orientation to soul contact and to soul knowledge, with her mind coming increasingly under soul control and stabilization of the second ray soul focus in her fifth ray mind. Thus, through this technique of fusion, she was developing the use of the imaginative thought power together with the faculty to visualize or to dream into being her garden, involving also the love petals of the egoic lotus, which represent the heart center on the mental plane, in relation to the solar plexus, and indicating the process, the ongoing process of the transference from the solar plexus to the heart, because the second initiation was still in front of her. But the process is already indicated. We also note that the three planets which condition the second initiation, Venus, Jupiter, and Neptune, were very powerfully involved in the creating work of this building of the garden. We will look in more detail in the next webinar through a major transformation on the path, which I don't want to go into it now. I want to point out something very important here also, another simultaneous process or process which was going parallel with all this, is the relation to building of the Antahkarana, where the creative imagination is also employed. Okay? And we have an ideal combination of energies for that also, because in her case, the 3-9 houses representing the meditative polarity in building of the Antahkarana is ruled by Aquarius and Leo, right? And so which planet are coming into focus here? Jupiter and Uranus both rule Aquarius, esoterically and exoterically, and the Sun ruling the Leo on all the levels, in her case, as she was approaching towards the second initiation, was veiled by Neptune. Again, the relationship between Jupiter and Neptune is emerging. Now, I'm only repeating some of these things to let you know how these energies are confirming that Uranus, as the ruler of Aquarius, is in Sagittarian decade of Leo, trining the Sun on a higher mental plane, where we find the Aries there, with Mercury particularly indicating it, and Uranus also on the midpoint of the Jupiter-Neptune. And so this building of the Antakarana, using of both techniques of integration and fusion, was involved in the process of building of this garden. Okay? Thus, the use of visual imagination is, we are told, an essential factor in the building process, and one of the major means of focusing upon the mental plane. Thus, the visualization is produced by the buddhic activity of impression, the tension of the mental body, and the imaginative process of the astral body. And with this statement, I have come to the conclusion of this presentation. There is a lot to ponder about in here, but the energies present in the chart of this disciple, naturally and through progression, are just unique for what she was using them, and she needed them for that building. And they are working from a number of different levels, and everything is going parallel to each other. Okay? So, Biel.
I have a question for you, Elena.
Yes?
A lot of what you have been talking about in her visualization is in that 11th house, the group house. And the disciples were working on group integration with all of the various different exercises they were doing. And I believe you told me, but I may have gotten this wrong, she built this garden. That was her task. But other members, other disciples were...
they were all using it.
Yes. That, to me, is amazing. And it's confirmed by all this activity happening in the 11th house.
So. Yes. Yes, because it's a group house also.
Right.
You know, I have not covered everything, okay? Because it was already enough. And don't forget that she was building the garden through her life. So we will be returning through the other instruction to the different aspects of that building of the garden, where DK is bringing another aspect of that building, and one would be also the one where he's telling her, you know, that all her brothers are using that garden, but, you know, from a different levels also. So good point, Eva.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, it's like Francis sharing his lovely images with us But they're all doing this mentally, so how cool is that?
Yes, everything is linked to everything else.
Okay, does anybody else have any questions for Elena before we end this webinar? I think they're all speechless.
Well, you know, there doesn't need to be any questions, maybe of some coin, sharing of a point of view or something of, but, you know, it's very, very involved, and for many, maybe a different approach of seeing energies and the process of working through different levels of utilization. So,
well, you did get a comment from Malia. She says, thank you, Elena, for this tour de force of synthesis.
Thank you, Maria.
Okay, well, thank you, everyone. If that's it, if there's no more comments or questions, then we'll say goodbye to you. And yes, thank you, Elena. It's always fascinating. And for those of you who joined us late, Elena will also be providing her notes. So when we post the webinar to Makara, for those of you who want to go back and re-listen, Elena will have her notes there. We'll also have the chart.
Sorry, BL, the notes which would be there would be only those in relation to the text of the master.
Right.
Not that people would expect all what I said here, you know.
Right. It's not all what you said there, but you've added in some of the astrological indicators
yes.
in your text. Right.
Yes.
Right.
At the beginning of the presentation, yes.
Okay, now
I'm just, yeah.
I'm sorry. So we'll include your notes and some of the astrological information, and I'll include this chart.
Yes.
Would you like me to also put the June 1933 quad wheel?
You would have to move it around. You know, this would be a very static day. I think the quadra wheel would be only useful for really astrologers who know how to use it.
Okay, and they know how to get it, so.
And they know how to get it.
Okay,
yes.
All right, then I'll leave that off. Okay. All right, well then, thank you, everybody. And Leia says, brilliant clarification, Elena. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Thank you for everybody for participation.
Okay, then. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Thank you, BL.
You're welcome, Elena.